Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 this morning. This is definitely going to be more sermon-like, but I had something in mind I was going to do, but then just in my morning reading, and I'm in Mark right now, this really jumped out to me. I really liked it. I couldn't get it off my mind, so the Lord put it on my heart to present to us this morning. It's going to be a little strange as Sunday school, but you know, sometimes you learn hard things in Sunday school, right? In regular school, you got to learn hard things like math, unless you're dad. But if you're me, you learn hard things like math, like algebra when you did it twice. But sometimes you have to, dig pretty deep and plow up some hard ground. And sometimes you have to examine yourself. And so I really think that this is something that I need to learn. This is something that we all need to get a hold of. And more importantly, this is something that needs to get a hold of our hearts. And the Word of God needs to do some plowing and some digging in us. And I really think that I really believe with all my heart that the reason God gave this message to me is I truly believe that if this is something that really touched you, this would change how you view everything in your life. And this would make today not an ordinary Sunday. All right, I don't know if you're like me, but are you tired sometimes of just coming to Sunday church? Like really, we come in, we hear Sunday school, we hear morning service, we go home and take a nap, and we come back for Sunday night service, and then we go home and we do it again next week. Are any of y'all following me here? Do you go through that sometimes? I'll sit there and just be like, when Brother Harris is preaching, or I'm even teaching the youth, I'll just think, is this just going to be another Sunday where the Lord tries to speak? And we kind of like, okay, Lord, I see what you're saying to me today, but it never goes into practice. But I truly believe that God gave this to me to give to you for my own sake too, that today could really start revival in this church. And so I just pray with me that this will get a hold of you. And while we read and we pray before we get into this, I want you to make God a promise, if you're serious, and say, Lord, what you show me, I promise I'm going to do. And that's something you should do every time the Word of God is opened. All right, so stand with me in Mark 12, verse 41. Stand with me and honor the reading of God's Word. It's important. It's the Lord's Word. Mark 12, verse 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had. Please read these last four words aloud with me. Even all her living. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day and all your blessings on us. We just want to come before you and worship you, God, for everything you've done for us, God, and everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be here this morning and not in a bar and not in a club and not laying around at home, but you brought us to your house, God. And if that's not important to us and it doesn't mean anything to us, we desperately need either salvation or repentance, God. And so I pray that you would get a hold of our heart, and we make a promise to you, God, that what you show us, we are going to do, and we are going to perform what you tell us to do, God. And I truly believe with all my heart, Lord, today could be the day that Emmanuel Baptist Church sees revival. It could be a different day, God. It could be a special day, Lord, in your house. Because you're not here just to go through the motions, Lord. You never go through the motions. You're here to actually say and speak to us, God. So we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. That's right. I'm talking about money. Buckle up, friend. Jesus is in the temple. He's just rode in on that colt. It was actually a donkey and a donkey's child. He rode it on two. I believe that's the Jews and the Gentiles. And no man ever sat on that colt, it said. No man's ever been able to tame the heart of man. But Jesus sat on the adult, the Jews, and tamed them. Because it says in Genesis, he'll bind the colt to the true vine, that's himself. And then it had the colt, the foal, it was the child, that's the Gentiles, that's the outer ones that rode by him. He tamed them. No man ever sat on it. That's personally what I think that means. It's really important. Only Matthew gives that there's two of them. And he's cleansed the temple, but he's gone to Bethany. Now he's back in the temple, and he's sitting by the treasury. There's that treasury there, and you got the altar not too far away where you can offer the offerings, but then you got the actual just treasure box. And it doesn't say that he beheld what they gave. It says he beheld how they cast into the treasury. He was watching the motive of their heart. He was watching how they cast it in, okay? And everybody was bringing of their abundance. What does that mean? It's not, he didn't say, it says the rich cast in much, but it says that they all cast in of their abundance. It was like they came in and said, well, this was left over at the end of the month, and I can give this to the treasury. And they'd cast it in of their abundance. When they had some left over, they could take some of that and cast it in. But this woman did not give of her abundance, okay? It says that she cast in of her want. That means her lack, W-A-N-T. That's an old King James word for you. It means lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That doesn't mean I'm not going to desire. That means I'm not lacking anything if the Lord is my shepherd. That's what that word means. She cast in of her lack. The Lord is not impressed with your abundance. The Lord is not impressed when you come to church and you write out that tithe, $103.14 to the penny, 10%. That's not impressive to God. Just round it up. Just round it up. Why you got a penny pinch with God? Huh? Why you gotta mark it out to that? You don't do that when, hey, you don't wince when you go buy that new $1,500 phone. You didn't cringe a little bit when you bought that new car. Am I plowing somebody's field? Are you with me? You didn't, it didn't mean much to you when you threw away that car payment and now you're in debt. Oh, this will be fine. But when it comes time to give 10% to the penny, hey, you don't mind giving a rounded number and putting it aside in your savings account. You're not putting 10% into your savings account. You're wanting to stuff it all in the savings account. You want that nice cushion, and that's not a bad thing. But when it comes time to give to God, ooh, it's a little tight today. I don't know if we can afford to let go of 10%. May I just say the Lord didn't shed 10% of his blood for you? They were giving of their abundance. They had something left over. Hey, this was our abundance, and now we can give this to the Lord. And he watched how they cast it in, and they had their abundance, and how did they cast it in? Well, Jesus didn't call his disciples over to watch anybody else. He wasn't impressed with those rich Pharisees with their large philanthropy and their robes and their garments. They'd walk over and they would just clank and they'd walk away. Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing whenever you're giving. What does that mean? Don't sound a trumpet. Don't blow the horn. Hear ye, I, Benjamin Thrift, gave 10% out of my abundance to the Lord, the creator of the universe. He wasn't impressed with that. He watched how they did it. Hey, the Lord watches how you put that money in the offering plate. The Lord watches how you put that missions in. It's faith promise missions. Faith promise giving. That doesn't mean you get to skip a week because you can't make the payment. That's not faith. Oh, well, we're going to have to skip our missions this week. We just can't afford it. You can't afford not to give it. A farthing is about a seventh or fourth or two-fifths. Nobody really knows because it's just so far back in time and it's just so different than, and our economy is always changing. But it's anywhere. I like to think it's probably a seventh of our penny. It's a seventh. It was like cut so many times with that Roman coin. It was just a tiny little piece of brass. It was the tiniest thing. She had two mites, and it made a farthing. Well, a farthing. What could a farthing buy you? Well, Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" And in Luke, he said, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings?" So back in the culture and economy of Jesus' day, you could get two sparrows for one farthing, and you could get five sparrows. It was one thrown in extra for two farthings, but she only had one farthing. And sparrows were clean to eat on the Jewish dietary law. So that was poor people's food. You go up to the market, you give them two mites, and you get two sparrows, and you can pluck them and roast them and eat them. And you're hungry an hour later. Like, that was poor people's food. So when Jesus says, she gave all her living, she gave all her living. She chose that morning. And by the way, I'm going to go to this, but Corinthians says, let every man give as he purposed in his heart, okay? So giving is a purposing of the heart. So in that morning, she got up and purposed in her heart, and she looked at her two mites. This is literally her last amount of money. This is it. She looked at that and said, I can get two sparrows today in the market, and I could be full for maybe a couple hours. Or I can go give this to the temple, give this to God, and just see what happens. That's why Jesus said she gave more than anybody. You see, God does not count your giving off of what you gave. He looks at what you have left over after you've given. He doesn't care if you gave $1,000 this morning. How much do you have left over? Y'all still with me? It's a little quiet. Hey, you know, I don't really have a problem staying here for a while because I can move on, but this is really important. I really can't stand it when people say, well, the tithe is an Old Testament law. We don't tithe in the church age. Well, there's multiple reasons why you're wrong, but can I say that Abraham tithed when there was no law? Isaac tithed. Jacob tithed. Was no law. And you mean to tell me that 10% was only for the age where the law was, but you think that in the New Testament, grace, church, you got the Holy Ghost inside of you that the Old Testament saints didn't have. You've got the high priesthood of the believer that the Old Testament saints didn't have. You've got the Bible that they didn't have. You've got so much more that Abraham did not have. So you're going to excuse the tithe and say, I don't have to give. That's got to be the most self-centered, selfish thing I've ever heard anybody say. You should be giving 50. Oh, look, restaurants require more than 10%. You'll give 15, 20, 25% to the person who set a plate down in front of you. But when it comes time to come to the house of God and the offering plate's coming around, this is the grace age. I'm in the church age. You will never be blessed in your life. Never. mark it down, write it on some paper, and post it on your door. This house will never have God's blessing. That's simple. And that's not even including your missions giving. And I'm going to get to the free will offering of the Old Testament. It's really great. The disciples learned a valuable lesson here. The Lord chose to point out her faith in him. Her faith. If your faith doesn't reach your bank account, it might not reach to heaven. If your faith doesn't reach your pockets, I wouldn't trust that faith to get me to heaven. I might come to the altar this morning and say, God, I am stingy. That's exactly who he's talking about. That's me. I don't have your blessing. I don't give faithfully. I'm stingy with my money. Covetousness is on the same level as idolatry. Paul said, covetousness, which is idolatry. Mammon is my God. You need to come to the altar and say, God, if this is me and I know that's my heart, am I even saved? Have I even been saved? Because a saved person, now I will say, this does take some learning. You do got to learn to do this. You do got to grow that faith. But if you've been saved for a long period of time, and that faith of God and that love of God he put in your heart and shed abroad by the Holy Ghost has not touched your bank account, you got to get some things right this morning. You've got to examine yourself. And why did I say that this could lead to revival? Why did I say this one little passage could lead this church to revival? Because if you got your heart right with God and said, I'm going to start giving faithfully, giving knows no bounds in the Christian life. You'll start giving your money. You'll start giving your time. You'll start giving your family. You'll start giving your labor to the church. And my friend, you'll start giving yourself to God completely. And that is actually what revival is. That is when a church gets into a state of revival. When people get their hearts right and say, hey, what am I giving to God? What am I giving to God? She didn't give 10%. She gave 100%. You can imagine her. What if she woke up? It's time for my tithe. Let's take a knife. I'm going to cut this copper just a little bit. Let's throw that in. No, she would have never been in the Bible. Your giving gets God's attention. Do you realize? She gave a farthing. 2 sparrows worth. She gave a farthing. And it got the God of creation's attention and said, y'all come look at this woman. Look at what she just did. I don't think it's a stretch to say that she never went hungry a day after that. I don't think it's a stretch for me to say, I believe that woman just there was the check in the mail. There was the bag of groceries at the front door. I don't think she went hungry. Are you willing? Look, you put your faith in God to save you from hell. But are you willing to put the things you can see on the line? All right, it's easy for us to say, God, save my soul. Because you can't see or feel or touch your soul. And you can't see, feel, touch God. But when it comes to this and what we can touch and feel and see and smell, ooh, now it starts poking at the flesh. Now the flesh is getting involved. Hey, no, we can't afford that. I've got to make my payment to my 12 streaming services. We can't give that. No, not more than, not 15 or 20%. No, I've got to pay for the amount of fast food we do every week. See, the flesh starts getting poked at. When you start laying, look, if you've been saved, it's time. It is high time to come to the altar and start laying those things we can see down and those things we can feel, those things that get us aggravated because it's just too tight. Look, money, divorce rate over money, all right? You need to get that settled and you need to get your finances settled so you can have a happy marriage. Look, if your prayers are hindered because you're not right with your spouse, man, and y'all fight over money, there's no way you've prayed a day in your life. There's no way you've prayed. There's no way God has heard a prayer from you in like a month. Because all you do is fight over money. All you do is fight over what you're going to give it towards. If you give it to God, and I don't mean 10%. I mean give it all to God. Say, Lord, this is not my bank account. Lord, this is not my car. This is not my house. This is not my wife, and these are not my kids. Everything belongs to God. That's stewardship. That's giving to God. That's laying it all on the line and saying, everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. And you watch how God blesses. When he says, give that, you give it. And when he says, get rid of that, you get rid of it. Because why? Because if you say no, that means you think it's yours. You think it belongs to you when you tell God no. Hey, you need to start getting rid of all those subscriptions you have to all this garbage. Get rid of it. And if you say no, I'm sorry. Whose is it? You have misplaced the ownership of that thing. Are you still with me this morning? Hey, do you see why this is important? Do you see why this leads to revival? And I'm having this just started in my life. This just started in my heart when I read this. Like, wow. Real stewardship is when you look at something and go, that's God's. And when you do that, that means he's got the authority over it. What? I like how Paul said, what? Why do I have to say this? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, you can have your body, but you can't have everything else? Go past the tithe. Give freely. If God loveth a cheerful giver, then if A equals B, if God loves a cheerful giver, then God hates a selfish giver. If you give selfishly and stingily and you hold back what you know God wants you to give, God hates that. He hates what you put in the plate this morning. It's an abomination to him. He hates it. But when you get to the point where it's like, here you go, God, this is yours. You know, let's put a little extra. You know what? Let's give a little. You know what? Throw some extra on that mission. Just to, you know what? Let's give a lot this. Let's just give it this month. All right, let's give it this week. You know what, God? That's a sweet smelling savor. And he blesses that. Oh, you're saying I'll get the money back? Probably not. Hey, no. If you give to get, God hates it. Hates it. If you give and say, God, I'm waiting for that money to come back, he's probably not going to give it to you, teach you a lesson. But you know what you'll have? Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven.
Right.
Let's give a little extra to missions. Extra soul got saved. Let's give a little extra to the church this month. You know what? They get to build and make it look nicer and somebody gets saved along the way and you have part in that. Do you care about souls? You care about yourself. The self life equals the sin life. The sin life equals the selfish life. Selfish people, they're always just so eat up with themselves. They're so grumpy and they're never happy. And they're just, man, it's just, you can just tell and look at somebody how they've lived. But a Christian who has learned to give it all to him, that the joy-filled, spirit-filled, happy Christians, because they know that they can do without. I have learned to abound, and I have learned to be abased. In whatever state I am, I have learned therewith to be content. Content with what God has. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And if him saying to you, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you, and if that doesn't satisfy you, you might not be saved. Well, thank you, Lord, but what about? No. No, no, you've got it wrong. You've got it all wrong. All right, we're going to move on just a little bit. I want you to see something. I want you to see, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to end. What time is it here? Okay, we're going to end real soon. 1 Corinthians 8. I want you to see something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where you start reading, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge." Knowledge puffed up. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I was like, idols. I don't remember that in my reading. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, my bad. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." The church of Philippi was one of them. They were great givers. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy in their deep poverty, joy in deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of the liberality." They were in distress and persecution. It's like, hey, let's give more. That's a Christian. That's God's love. "How that in a great trial of affliction, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Let's get the desire. Basically, they prayed Paul, "Please take this gift." And this they did, not as we hoped. We weren't hoping they would give us a gift. We didn't even know about it. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Look at verse 9. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and that ye through his poverty might be rich." What's he saying? Look, I want you to learn this grace, O church of Corinth. I want you to learn what the churches of Macedonia did. Give, not to me, Paul's saying. It's not about us. Give to the Lord. And they first gave themselves to God. Giving starts when you realize everything I have is not mine. And guess what, Lord? I'm laying myself on the altar. The free will offering of the Jews was an offering God didn't require. It had some parameters. It had to be a certain way because you can't just give anything to God. It's got to have some rules. There's rules about this, okay? There's rules to giving yourself in a free will offering. It's got to be acceptable. It's got to be out of a cheerful heart. It's got to be out of joy and love for him and not stinginess and pride and self-exaltation. But the free will offering, they could just give it whenever they wanted. I can imagine that Jew coming up there and saying, "God, I'm not here for a sin offering. I'm not here for a whole burnt offering. I'm not here for a trespass offering. I just wanted to give this to you today because I came from my home. I came from my family that's happy. We had food to eat today. We had clothes today. I just thought I'd give this to you." Amen. It was a free will offering. That does not stop in the church age. It should be more in the church age. We live in America. Yeah. We can give more. We have jobs. Some people in the world don't have the opportunity to work. But if God's enabled you to work and to have some money and to have possessions and your own family, give the family to God. "God, I want my kids to serve you. Let me give them to you. Let me give my spouse to you so I know that they're not mine." It's not a selfish marriage. It's a sacrificial marriage. And he said, "I want you to know of the grace of God, how that the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." He didn't give the tithe of his blood. He gave all of his life on the cross of Calvary and shed everything for you and rose again for you and bought you. He gave you everything. What are you going to do, tithe? Or are you going to come today and say, "You know what, God, this will start revival. This is what I need, is to give a Christian's life. Is marked by giving and sacrificing." The world knows how to be selfish. You need to know how to give. And it takes the grace of God in your life. "God, give me the grace I need because I can't do it in the flesh. I can't give up this sin. I can't give up my addictions. I can't give up this addiction to money and selfishness and grabbing and holding on. I need the grace of God. I need that blood he shed on Calvary to wash over me. And this word to wash over me, teach me to give." To give. Let's all stand. Hey, that'll spark revival in your life. That'll change this church. Hey, today is not an ordinary Sunday for you. Let this be the start of a life marked by sacrifice, of a life marked by giving. Give yourself to the preaching today. Give yourself to the singing. Let your heart get lost in the hymns and the songs and worship to God.